I want to share some thoughts today that God has had me pondering for a while. I was spending some time with God a few weeks ago, actually, and I was just mulling some stuff over, as I tend to do. And I said to God, is there anything that you want me to share? Is there anything that kind of you want to talk to me about, in a sense, to give away? And he said two words to me at this particular point in time. He said, victim or victor? And I went, duh. Victor, obviously, we're all victors, aren't we? We live in victory. Then I started to ponder. So, as Christians, we know that Jesus defeated death on the cross. That's a good victory statement, isn't it? He sorted out our sin issue so that we could be restored in relationship with God. We can have victory in our lives because of Jesus. Good truth? Good truth. We receive forgiveness. We're forgiven. We can be reconciled with God into sonship. We have healing, freedom, peace. Our identity gets restored. We have a sense of purpose. We know that we're accepted, that we belong. We're loved. We have the ability to live by faith, which is living by what God says about us and not our circumstances. We learn to trust God, to look for our provision, whatever we need in life. He gives us a fresh start. He cancels our slate. He wipes it clean. And we learn not to be controlled by circumstances. Result. Good stuff. All through Jesus. Not bad. Then, as we've been going along, we've been learning to legislate for our lives. That means take responsibility in the heavenly realms to see things change. Here, we're learning to do that. We're recognizing that we have spheres of influence. We can change our circumstances around us. And we can bring God's rule to those affected by us. We can learn to live above circumstances and not under them. God says we are the head and not the tail. It's all really good stuff, isn't it? Pretty good. I'm going to read Romans 8. It says, Romans 8:29. He predesigned and engineered us from the start to be jointly fashioned in the same mold and image of his son, according to the exact blueprint of his thought. We see the original and intended pattern of our lives preserved in his son. He is the firstborn from the same womb that reveals our genesis. He confirms that we are the invention of God. Jesus reveals that we pre-existed in God. He defines us. He justified us and also glorified us. He redeemed our innocence and restored the glory we lost in Adam. All these things point to one conclusion. God is for us. Who can prevail against us? The gift of his son is the irrefutable evidence of God's heart towards us. He held nothing in reserve, but freely and undeservedly gave everything we could ever wish to have. This is what our joint sonship is all about. God has identified us. Who can disqualify us? His word is our origin. No one can point a finger. He declared us innocent. What further ground can there possibly be to condemn mankind? In his death, he faced our judgment. In his resurrection, he reveals our righteousness. The implications cannot be undone. He now occupies the highest seat of authority as the executive of our redemption in the throne room of God. What will it take to distance us from the love of Christ? You name any potential calamity, intense pressure of the worst possible kind, claustrophobia, persecution, destitution, loneliness, extreme exposure, life-threatening danger, or war. Let me quote scripture to remind you. Because of our association with you, we are reckoned as sheep to be slaughtered. We have been thoroughly slain on the day. On the contrary, in the thick of these things, our triumph remains beyond dispute. His love has placed us above the reach of any onslaught. This is my conviction. No threat, whether it be in death or life, be it angelic beings, demon powers, or political principalities, nothing known to us at this time or even in the unknown future. No dimension of any calculation in time or space, nor any device yet to be invented, has what it takes to separate us from the love of God demonstrated in Christ. Jesus is our ultimate authority. Amazing? Amazing. This is the truth for all of us. This is how we can be victors. This is how we can live in victory. But we need a revelation of this. It's not enough to just read that. because although it's true, unless it's truth for us on the inside, we can't live in the good of us. We are more than conquerors. That's what God says about us. But what on earth does that mean? How can you be more than a conqueror? Being a conqueror is fairly impressive, but God says we are more than conquerors. So, back to the two words, victor, victim. Definition of victor: a person who has overcome or defeated an adversary, a conqueror, a winner in any struggle or contest. That's what God says about you. That's what God says about me. Victim: a person who has come to feel helpless and passive in the face of misfortune or ill treatment. A person who is tricked or duped. A person who is harmed or injured. So I just want us to really think about those two concepts, because one concept, this is who we are. This is what God says about us. But often the other may be true, and we need to enter a process of God bringing us from victim to victor in our actual lives. Many of us, we try really hard to live Romans, to live out that truth. We try really hard to do it. But we still find ourselves being defeated in certain areas. Are there circumstances that cause you to feel hopeless, to feel helpless, to feel nothing will change, to feel stuck? Ultimately, we've all been victims because we've been deceived by the enemy who robbed us of our identity. So we've all been victims of deceit. Jesus sorted that out. Why am I doing? I'm not doing anything.
She always says that.
Jesus sorted out that one. The biggest deception of all. We have our identity in who God says that we are. But we have all lived less than God intended. We have all lived under God's heart for us. We were created in the heart of God way, 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 way long before we moved into this realm. We were created as a spirit in God's heart. He loved us so much. He formed us and he kept us in his heart. And then at the necessary time, we came into this realm when at conception in our mother's womb, our spirits entered and they were jointly formed together. We have a destiny that was decided way before we came here, a plan and a purpose from God. God's heart is that we would be born into this realm. We've all come, we're all given birth to in some way or other. God's heart was the family that we were born into would reveal him, that we would know his love, his acceptance, he'd be secure, feel like we belonged, that everything that was in God's heart for us, the original plan was that would be demonstrated to us to reveal God's heart of love, because God is love. That we would then be encouraged and find our destiny to outwork it, to know love, to be loved, to give love. Can't think of your phrase, to love, living, live, loving, and whatever it is. But love being the essence of it all, to then outwork that destiny to bring heaven to earth, to manifest God here, to bring change, to bring transformation. Most of us may go, uh-oh, that didn't quite happen as planned. Because our parents, our grandparents, their parents were all victims of brokenness, of the original deception. We have all lived less than God intended. So we have all had brokenness in our lives, and our parents lived with their brokenness. So we have all been victims, and this will have affected us. Sometimes it can be generational. We may see patterns that run in families where there have been certain things that affected this generation, then this generation, then this generation's. Abuse of any description, addictions, divorce can even be a pattern that runs in families. Sickness. I've even heard people talk about family sickness. There can be things that we have been victims of. The way that we were treated in those early days, those original surroundings that we had, taught us our belief systems, taught us our value systems, taught us how to think, how to treat ourselves, how to cope with life, and how to treat others.
So what we feel about ourselves and how we treat others would have been formed in those early days. Life situations and circumstances shape us. They shape the way that we are. They shape the way that we think. They shape the way that we treat others. So the way that we're treated to, the way that we're spoken to, it becomes our norm. It becomes part of life. We just learn to get on with it. What else are we going to do? Negative events happen. They happen to all of us. Negative things happen all the time. It can be a one-off thing, or it can repeat, and it can put layer upon layer upon layer of hurt and wounds and pain. Either we know how to deal with it so that we don't become a victim to it, or we don't, and we become a victim to life circumstances, whatever they may be for each one of us, and it will be different for all of us. Underneath, in our soul, there often is a root, or many roots, that cause us pain. And it can come through trauma of any description. And trauma is defined as a type of damage to the psyche that occurs as a result of a severely distressing event. And that will go down on the inside and it will affect us. My trauma may be very, very different to your trauma, but we have all experienced trauma to some degree. What's relevant to me may be nothing to you. And you may think, why on earth has that affected us so much? We can't afford to go there and judge others, because what goes on the inside of me is what God is interested in healing and setting me free from. But the first thing is, we need to start to recognize if we have those things hidden, buried on the inside. Now, God has taken us deeper, so much deeper. And as a church, inner healing, forgive and release, these have been our, like, stamped right through us. And we have done for many years, but God is taking us so much deeper to look at those things that are hidden, buried, unknown, because we all want to be free and we all will do whatever God has shown us to a point to do. But what I want to suggest today is that God is going even deeper. So let's be open for God showing us things that we might not even know are deep on the inside of us, because they can have a massive effect, sometimes causing part of us to get stuck, to get broken off, to get fragmented, to become separated from our whole and become fractured. So part of you, through a trauma, through an incident, through something that's happened, can remain at the edge of that trauma, and then you can't move on. No matter what you do, you can't move on. It can affect you deep down in your soul. Have you ever heard someone say, behaving like a child? Yes, Lily, you are a child. That's okay. Or having a tantrum like a toddler. Or you're acting like a five-year-old. Have you heard people say those things? Sometimes, well, it could be just get a grip and grow up. Or it could be that actually, deep on the inside of you somewhere, there's a wounded, fragmented, fractured part that has not been healed. And I think that's what God is showing us, and that's what God is wanting to deal with deep down on the inside. We've worked with people in addiction for many, many, many years, and it's fantastic when we see God break in and set people free. But I was talking to someone in addiction a few years ago, and I think it's fair to say that someone's emotional development stops when addiction takes root. And so for many people, when they come out of addiction, they find that their emotions are really stuck. Okay? We all need to look at that. Where are we stuck? Where on the inside of us are we not whole? So what can we be victims to? What do I mean? Anything. Basically, we are all different and we can be affected in different ways. And this is about me when I'm looking at it. So I'm going to say, look at it from your perspective. Basically, anything can cause a trauma that shuts us down or fragments us on the inside. Any form of abuse, whether it's physical, emotional, sexual, or mental. An accident, you can be a victim of an accident, and the trauma of what you go through can actually block you or stop you in that place. A catastrophe. You hear of people being, mudslides or earthquakes or any of those things. Actually, a traumatic event can cause a deep root on the inside. It doesn't have to be just somebody's done something horrible to you. There are things in life that can cause these things. Violence of any description, you can be a victim of crime. You can be a victim of people's words. You can see something that actually causes you a trauma deep on the inside. Or you could hear something. You can be a victim of rejection, victim of betrayal, you name it. It can take hold anywhere. And you may have flashbacks or nightmares. You may just relive things, or you may shut down. But again, we are all different. But what some of these things can do is bring fear, helplessness, hopelessness, unbelief, guilt, shame, condemnation. These events can shape us and imprison us deep on the inside. We can become trapped in that memory and become victim to them. It can become more than that. Sometimes people can have what we call victim mentality. So for you or me, it may be that I have an area in my life where it's caused me to become a victim, and God can come in and set me free and heal it, and that area is completely done. For some people, because of trauma, it goes a lot deeper than that, and we can have, as I say, a victim mentality or come under a victim spirit, which might have some outworkings like someone just lives in the past, doesn't take responsibility. You need attention and affirmation from others. You need people to feel sorry for you. You feel entitled, so you complain a lot. You can control and manipulate, be full of self-pity, be very passive. Poor me. Often all of this operates at a subconscious level because nobody wants to be like this, do they? It's a bit like Grimbles. But some of this stuff, it's not at our conscious level. It takes root underneath subconsciously. So an outworking could be to just blame people or situations, to blame yourself. Everything's a drama. You think everyone's against you. Feel powerless, can't be persuaded that things can change. As I said, passive but manipulative. Feel sorry for yourself. There's that song, "Nobody Loves Me, Everybody Hates Me, Just Because I Eat Worms." It could just be everyone's always against me all the time. Put yourself down, can outwork in self-hatred or rejection. And ultimately, the aim of all of this is to blame God. And once we blame God, then we won't trust him. Why would I want a relationship with him? How can he love me after what he did to me? Our perception gets totally distorted, and we see God as the root of everything wrong that's happened to us, when God is the one that actually can bring healing, restoration, and freedom to us. So I'll leave you to ponder those. Our thought life is really important, because I will live how I believe. How I think, I will act. So if I think I'm useless, I'm a failure, nothing will ever change, my life sucks, bad things always happen to me, blah, 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 how will I live? Just like that. I will just expect to be a victim always, even at an unconscious level. If we think like that, why? Why do we? Because there has to be a reason. Or we could just be random grumpy people. Unlikely. Sometimes, you know, we have a bad attitude, we give our head a wobble, and we sort it out. Actually, if there's a deep down root, we're unable to do that. And God is wanting to take us deep down and find the root, what's going on deep on the inside. Because with this thinking, my belief system, my emotions will feel very negative. Might even erupt in a crazy fashion every now and then. Extreme, out of control. The thing is, we can't deal with our emotions and make everything okay, because our emotions are only a fruit of something that's deep down on the inside. So we won't get free trying to control your emotions. Who knows, it's really hard work trying to control your emotions. We don't want to need to control our emotions. We want to be free of the pain that causes the emotions in the first place. Good news here. Good news is coming. So, anger, bitterness, resentment, fear, self-pity. Any negative emotion you want to think about, it's just a fruit. It's just a symptom of something down here. And that's where God wants to take us, deep down on the inside. Now, again, it's not about trying to live differently. It's not about trying to be a calm, peaceful person. It doesn't work. You can't try and believe. What you need to do, what we need to do, is we need to have a revelation deep on the inside of Jesus as our healer to bring us and set us free. For some of you, that might make sense today for the very first time. The good news is Jesus is here today to meet you in that place. So what is the trauma, the event that happened that caused this? Because undealt with, we remain a victim to it. Circumstances of life can leave you feeling like a victim, thinking like a victim, acting like a victim. And we've been learning about frequencies and resonance and all those things. If we have a victim spirit, mentality, trauma, we will be emitting a frequency that says, I am a victim. And in the water, when blood smells sharks, shark smell. Ah, Mike was listening. When sharks smell blood, they head straight for it. They sense it and they are there. And we need to be aware that what we emit, the frequency that comes from us, is what we can attract. So we don't want to be emitting a frequency that says, hey, look at me, I'm a victim. Come, something bad happen. What we want is to be emitting the frequency of heaven so that it attracts God's blessing, God's provision, and then we can give it away to others who are hurting. So it may be our whole life, or it may be one area. Whatever it is, mentality, victim mentality in the area will cause us to think, what's the point? Nothing's going to change. I can't. I have no other option. It will bring unbelief, no faith, no hope. The good news is this is a lie, because there is always hope, because Jesus is our hope. And there is hopeful change in every situation. No situation is too difficult for God. Nothing is impossible for God. There are many, many self-help groups, books, groups you could go to, books you could read, therapy. You can do it all. And what it will teach you is how to live with what's happened. What it will teach you is how to get by. Real transformation comes when God meets you on the inside and deals with it and takes it away and restores you and reconciles you, bringing healing and freedom. It's like seeing a caged bird with the door open that can fly. And our destiny of all of us is to fly, is to soar, is to be above those situations, not under them. It might not stop bad things happening, but what we will do is deal with them in a different way. So how do I get from being a victim to a victor? Well, first of all, victory's already been won. That's the good news. Jesus has already done it. So part one, finished. That's the good news. That's the hope. Part two, we need to identify where we've been robbed, and we need to allow God to get in. Ask God. Ask Jesus. Make a decision. I will not remain a victim anymore. I will not be trapped. I will not be imprisoned. You may need help. And again, we're here. We have a very good ministry team. We can pray. We can seek God for each other. And Jesus can meet you himself. A face-to-face encounter with Jesus. Perfection. Bible says for freedom, Christ has set us free. That's for all of us. None of us need to be victims. None of us need to be enslaved. God given us an amazing tool, forgive and release. That's what we've been birthed into. So if you can identify something this morning, it might be like, ah, I've seen something. I'd encourage you during the morning. You can deal with that. We have the cross here, which is just a piece of wood, but symbolically, we use it to take things to the cross, to pin them, to leave them on the cross. We have pens and pencils. What we need to do is identify that wound, identify the debt where we have been owed. What has happened to cause me to feel like this? You may have an emotion stirring right now. It might be you don't understand what I've been through. You're talking twaddle. I can't be free of this. You've got no idea what I've been through. I may not, but Jesus does. And it's Jesus that will make the difference to you. So God may show you. If so, that's a really first step. Take account of how you've been affected by what happened. And this is really, really important. Forgiveness is not something that we do at a mental level. It has to impact us on the inside, because that's where our wound is. That's where the debt is. That's what we need to acknowledge. And for some of us, that debt may be huge. And we need to get to a point where we say, actually, this debt is imprisoning me. It's not affecting the person who did this to me. Do you want to be free is the question. Do you want to be set free? Write it down. Write an invoice. It might be that you write down everything that's happened, the way that you feel, the way that it's resulted. Write it all down. Then you can take it to God and you can say, I give this to you. I choose not to be affected by this anymore. I choose to forgive and cancel the debt. And I guarantee that Jesus will then come in and he will bring healing deep on the inside of you. You may need to do it in great detail. It's really important to release that debt, rip it up, do whatever you need to do with it. I was owed this, but I choose to let it go. I choose to cancel that debt and be owed no more. It may not be that simple. If it is that simple, wonderful, but it's a good place to start, because as we come into these other areas that we've talked about, the trauma, about the hidden inside, the fractured, the fragmented, the stuck part, it's not quite always that simple, but we can work through that together. But I am believing today that it is going to be that simple and that God is going to come and do some incredible things for people today, because God wants us whole. Wherever you have been wounded, alone, abandoned, betrayed, scared, wherever you are, sometimes people remember a part of them that's stuck at 3 or 5 or 7, wherever it may be. Jesus wants to bring healing and restoration to that part of you that was stuck. And then he wants to bring restitution and reconciliation, because you need all of you in one piece for wholeness, because that's how you're supposed to be. God wants us whole in body, soul, and spirit, emotionally, physically, and mentally. Whatever trauma or abuse you have suffered can be healed. Things seen, things heard, things done. Sometimes trauma can have set in the womb. Sometimes people get pregnant and they don't want to be pregnant. And that deep rejection can set in there, that offense of abandonment, rejection. So it may be that God takes you back there. It may be even before in generational lines. But don't be shocked or don't be afraid, because the root is what God is interested in. Because God always loved you, and he always does. God calls us sons. And where we need to get to is, no matter what my personal physical situation, my identity is in who God says I am and what he feels about me. And that can only come by revelation, healing, and restoration. The enemy wants to rob, kill, and destroy. No hope, no options. But Jesus came to give us abundant life. Being a victim is a prison, but sometimes prison cells are safe. And it's the other thing that we need to weigh up. Because we learn to protect ourselves when we hurt. Because if I have a negative expectation, if I put up walls, and if I make vows that no one is ever going to get that close or hurt me again, I'm safe. But I've become a victim and I live in a prison. Do you want to be free? I'm going to read John 5:2. At the sheep gate in Jerusalem, there was a pool called Bethesda. In Hebrew, it means home of grace and kindness. It had 5 porches. Many ailing people were lying in the shade of these porches, blind, crippled, and withered, waiting for the stirring of the water. An angelic messenger would go down into the pool occasionally to stir the water. The first person to then enter the pool would be healed of whatever it was they were suffering from. There was also a man who had an infirmity for 38 years. Jesus saw this man and realized that he'd been there for a very long time. He asked him, "Do you really desire to be made well?" The man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to help me get into the pool when the water is stirred. By the time I get there, someone else has already gotten there before me." Jesus said to him, "Awaken, arise, pick up your bed and walk." And at once the man became whole and picked up his bed and began to walk. Now this was the Sabbath day. The Jews were immediately offended and rebuked the man for picking up his bed on a day when no work was allowed according to their law. He answered them, "The man who healed me told me to pick up my bed and walk." They were very keen to know who this man was, but the man didn't know who it was who healed him, since Jesus already left unnoticed and there were throngs of people around. Then a little later, Jesus found him in the synagogue and said, "See, you have become whole. Do not continue in your old distorted mindset. Then nothing worse can happen to you." The man left and told the Jews that it was Jesus who healed him. That is so important for us where we are right now. This man had a story. We have a story that we carry on the inside of us. We live that story out. Is it the story that God has given us? In Jesus, we can redeem our story back to God's intention, but we must play our part. Like the man in John 5, Jesus said, "Do you want to be well?" And then he said, "Don't go back." That's our part. That's our responsibility. Our pain and our wounds can be familiar. They can be comfortable. They can be a safe place for us. But it's still a prison, and we still become victims to it. What does God say? Well, again, really positive things. He says that we're his children, that he loves us unconditionally, that we're joint heirs with Jesus, that we are seated in heavenly places. That means we have authority, that we are more than conquerors, that we're overcomers, that no weapon formed against us will prosper, that we are new creations. The old is gone. He gives us new identity, that we've been crucified with Christ. That means everything's gone. That it's no longer I that live, but Jesus lives in me. That is life. That is truth. That Jesus, we can live as Jesus. Again, it's no good to try and work hard. We've all done it, I'm sure. Strived. I've got to believe this. I must believe this because it's the truth. Ultimately, that is correct. But we need it on the inside, deep down in our nowhere, in that place where you know that you know that you know. And then it becomes part of you and you can live out of that. We need to meet Jesus. We need to meet Jesus as the truth. Just as a really quick example of this, it was a few months ago now, and I was sharing here about, I think it was about emotions and disappointment and feeling overwhelmed and those times when we feel we can't go on, and again at the end that, you know, that we can be free and blah, blah. And I was sharing a story actually about how my dad has really severe dementia, and it had been a really difficult process of time. And my emotions were unusually powerful for what I was going through, if you see what I mean. So it was a difficult situation, but I was feeling overwhelmed by my emotions. And I was trying to deal with it, and I couldn't quite work it out. And I was just sharing this stuff in the context of that morning. But straight afterwards, as we were worshiping together, God showed me that when I was 14, my dad got sick for the first time, and he took to his bed. And the emotion that I was feeling now was attached to feeling abandoned when I was 14. And the reason that it was so severe wasn't that it was a now emotion, because I was thought I'd done quite well dealing with things that were going on in the present. But God showed me that that 14-year-old girl, that was when I felt abandoned. And he met me, so I wailed like, I don't know what I wailed like. People must have wondered what was going on. But it was God came into that pain and that emotion, and he released it. And he brought healing to that 14-year-old part of me that had felt abandoned at that time. That's just an example. I'm not saying that's going to be relevant for anyone else, but it was something that was really incredible for me at that time. We don't work for victory, we live from it. That's the thing. We live from the victory that we have in our own lives. We also recently, as a church, we have been looking at something called Destiny Robber, which has been like a spiritual thing that has been assigned against us that we have been working, trying to deal with over the past probably couple of years. I just want to throw out there, just look in this context. Are there areas to do with this where you are being robbed of your destiny? Are there things in place in your life that are stopping you coming into everything that God has for you? God wants to heal, to restore, to reconcile, to bring us into complete wholeness with nothing broken and nothing missing. This is incredible. This is for all of us. Let's acknowledge where we are today. Decide to run your race. Decide not to be sidelined, not to be sidetracked, not to settle for anything that isn't God best for you, but to push through, because you're not pushing on your own. You have an army of angels that want to minister to you to help you. You have God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, all the stuff that we know. You're not on your own. But if we don't do this, the enemy will continue to rob us of who we really are. Okay, I'm going to invite you to stay in that place, whatever God has shown you. We're going to play one of Sam's music now about identity. I don't want to be prescriptive in this, so I'm just going to say a few things before I start to play it, and then please just let Jesus do whatever he wants to do with you. But we have an atmosphere of heaven here. There's an open door. We can step into heaven, see Jesus with his arms outstretched, ready to embrace you. Wherever it is that you are, please just go on your own journey. But some things I felt God say was for some people, just allow Jesus to embrace you. And in that embrace, he will bring healing. You may need to sit with the Father and tell the Father how you feel, what's happened, what's gone on. Draw out, allow the presence of the Father to draw out that emotion that's maybe been hidden or stuck. If you are aware that there's a part of you that has been stuck or fragmented, allow Jesus to minister to that area. Release forgiveness. Or maybe that area will need to talk to Jesus and say exactly what they think. The idea of this is to become whole and integrated. But it's a process for each one of us. If you don't feel that you can do that on your own today, then maybe speak with Karen afterwards and we can book up some time and spend some time together. But I really believe this is significant. The angel of hope that comes with me is here. There is hope. Allow Jesus to minister deep inside of you. I'm not going to say any more as the music plays, and just really go on your own journey and process with God.